मुकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the mute become eloquent and the lame scale mountains. Let Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. Last time we discussed the characteristics of the Atman, the real nature of human beings. This Atman is indestructible. Fire cannot burn it, water cannot wet it, air cannot dry it, sword cannot cut it. This Atman is our essence, the goal of human life is to realize that Atman, is to realize that self. Now the question arises, why do we not know our own Atman? Niharena pravrita jalpa, Rig Veda says. From our very birth, we covered ourselves as if with a mist, M-I-S-T. And that mist blurred our vision. Who created that mist? Maya, ignorance. That mist creates desire and doubt. We do not see the things properly due to that mist. That mist covered our minds like a thick cloud. I have never seen that type of cloud here, but I have seen some cloud in the eastern part of India, even in daytime, during the monsoon season. They are in the space, they are formed a cloud. That cloud is so thick and dark, as if you can touch it. Time to time, a thick cloud covers our mind. And we make mistake after mistake. We stumble, we fall. Because we do not see clearly. Swami Turiyananda, a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, had an experience at Baranagar Monastery. He was passing through a deep depression. In his spiritual life, time to time comes depression, dry period. So he could not bear that depression. So at midnight he was walking on the roof. And he found a cloud also. The whole place was covered with darkness, and he was thinking, Now there is no hope for me. All of a sudden, the wind started to blow, and the cloud was blown away. And he saw the full moon. Immediately he had that experience. There is the moon. That cloud is momentary, impermanent. It is blown. It is gone. It is blown away. Immediately he regained his lost faith. Depression left him. So in spiritual life, if you hold on, you will reach your destination. You see, in the last time when I discussed this Gita to you, you remember, I told you, Krishna was trying to destroy the body consciousness of Arjuna. You are the Atma. You see, body is not the goal. Body is the means. God is our goal. But take care of the body. Give good food, good clothing, good comfort. But don't give too much indulgence to the body. I remember when we were young kids in school, one of our teachers told a beautiful story. Still I remember. A boatman was rowing his ferry boat, and a boy started to grow on his thigh. But this boatman, you know, he's a poor man. He cannot afford to go to a hospital. He cannot, you know, take leave because his wife and children will starve. He will have to earn money by the sweat of his brow. So he was rowing boat. And every time that boy was getting pressure and the boy was suffering and said, "Oof, this man is so cruel, I cannot stay with him." So the boy left this boatman's body and went to the king's body. You know, king has a, you know, downy bed and very nice, soft bed. And when the boy went there, you know, half a dozen doctors came to see that king. And the time to time, queen came and, you know, caressed that boy. And the boy was thinking, how beautiful. I am getting the touch of the queen. You see, queen is touching me. And the boy was day by day taking beautiful shape, red color, you know. And so handsome, beautiful, good looking. And said, "Oh no, I am not going to leave this body. I shall stay here." Just see, if you give too much license to the body, the disease, all these things will stick there. Don't pay too much attention. It is a fairy tale that you have a body. Swamiji said, it is nothing but a story that you had a body. You see, so long we are in the physical plane, we have problems. None can escape problems. None. When you are in the physical plane, I told you last Sunday, you will get some experience that I am fat, I am lean, I am young, I am old. When you are in mental plane, you will experience, I am happy, I am unhappy. But when you are in spiritual plane, you have no dualistic feelings. This whole world is nothing but the pairs of opposites, good, bad, evil, and good. Happiness, misery, profit, loss. Whatever you see, thesis, the antithesis, the whole world is nothing but the pairs of opposites. But this knowledge of the self, knowledge of the Atman, will take you to a higher realm where this causality law of causality cannot function. This is the most beautiful aspect of Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta will throw you by a rocket to a no man's land where law of gravitation cannot work. You are completely free, go as you like. Vedanta wants to push you there. Body is the wound of the soul. Body is just like a boat which will help you to cross this ocean of Maya. Christ also said that. You can, what will you profit by losing, you know, if you may won the whole universe, losing your own soul, what does it mean? What does it avail? It reveals nothing. Your Atman is the main thing. Body, all other things are secondary. That Krishna said to Arjuna. The Swami Krishna said that to Arjuna, we understand, but really it is very difficult to hold this principle that I am the self, I am the Atman. Deny your body, says Vedanta. 100 times you deny, 98 times you will be unsuccessful, doesn't matter. At least twice you will make it. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. I am the Atman. Repeat it day and night. It will penetrate through your nervous system. It will penetrate all over your body, mind, organism. Swami, what shall I gain from it? You will be invincible. All power will come to you. You will be the master of the nature. Whatever you will dictate, the whole nature will follow you. Tremendous power will come within you. You will get self-mastery. We lost anger, passion, jealousy, hatred, all these secret enemies, unseen enemies, will leave from you, will be afraid of you, will not touch you. What a great gain. You will be established on your own self. As we have seen, you see, when President's plane fly over the country, you know, they all commercial flights, you know, they divert it this way, that way, because President's plane is passing. Nobody should stop his journey. All will have to accommodate President's plane. President's car, they will close the street, his car must pass. So the knower of the Atman, knower of the self, is just like that president. Nobody can stop his movement. Verse number 29. Ashcharyavat pashyati kashchidenam ashcharyavat vadoti tathaiva chanyaha ashcharyavat chainam anyashrinoti srutva penam vedo na daiva kashyat. Krishna says, this Atman is wonder. It is a... Some look on the self as a wonder. Some speak of it as a wonder. Some hear of it as a wonder. Still others, though hearing, do not understand it at all. Some people look at the Atman as a wonder. Do you know why? Very unusual thing. It is a very, very unusual thing because you have never seen it. Some unseen object. Well, which way it is unseen? It is in which way, Swami, the Atman is unusual? In this way it is unusual. It is self-luminous, self-existent. ever present, but we think it does not exist. We think it is unreal. It is insentient matter. This Atman is ever blissful. We think we ourselves miserable. This Atman has no modification, but we feel that it is modified. This Atman is our real self, but we do not feel it. This Atman is ever free, but we feel that we are bound. Just see how difficult it is to understand this self. These are the two great obstacles. First, thought of impossibility. Second, opposite thoughts. Your teacher told you, you are the self, you are the Atman. Oh no, my name is, you know, John and this and that. I was born in such and such place. Immediately, the moment you think about yourself, you connect yourself with some other things. Parents, home, family, name, form. First, you think it is impossible. Second, you think something opposite, which you are not. And Swamiji says, Madam, you are mistaken if you think that you are an American and you are a woman. Never limit yourself. You are that infinite Atman. So first, this Atman is very difficult to understand. Secondly, the vision of the Atman is also rare. It needs the instruction of a teacher. It is inscrutable. It is very difficult to pass in the inner realm of the self. Guru guides. Spiritual teacher is absolutely necessary. We are walking in darkness, groping in darkness. You remember Swami? Asheshananda told a story that he did not care for a guru, teacher. So he said, well, I can take my own responsibility. Then the other Swami told him, no, you can't. Suppose you are in a dark cave and you lost the way. You are going this direction, that direction. Sometimes you are bumping your head on the stone wall. Your body, it is full of bruises and cuts. But if you find a person who has a torch in his hand, and he who knows the way, you are happy. Oh, sir, please help me to get out from this dark dungeon, dark cave. The teacher with you now will say, please come and follow me. He will put the flashlight and he will take you out from that labyrinth. Same thing in spiritual life. A teacher, a spiritual guide is necessary. Swami Brahmananda used to say, if you want to be a pickpocket, you need training. So that if you are caught, you may not be hurt. You know, you must know all these techniques. The Atmodarshan, the vision of the self, is something wonderful. You know, what does it say? that Vritti Chaitanya becomes the knowledge of the self. I shall have to explain it to you. If you watch your mind, you will find there is a continuation, there is a continuity of thought waves. Gita, car, home, husband, wife, children, job, continuously thought after thought, various thoughts are passing over your mind. As various waves are moving on the surface of the ocean. It is called vritti, thought waves. If this mind, you know, these waves cannot rise if there is no consciousness behind. That consciousness is there. That conscious, over that consciousness, the mind is playing. What is yoga? Chitta vritti nirodha, cessation of mind wave is called yoga. What will happen? You will get the vision of your own self. You will see the reflection of your own beautiful self. But you can stop all these small waves by creating another wave. As you have noticed, a big wave, tidal wave, covers hundreds and hundreds of small waves. So, if you think that I am the Atman, I am that Self, that huge tidal wave immediately stops all small waves. I am a man, I am a woman, I am rich, I am poor, I am ugly, I am beautiful. All these waves will be covered by that one wave. Then what will happen? That is also a wave, mind that. I am the Atman. That also came in the mind. But what type of mind? Pure mind. That thought only comes in the pure mind. The wave destroys wave. That huge tidal wave, I am the Atman, destroys I am the body wave. You know, you are just replacing one by the other. Sri Ramakrishna's example, if a thorn pricks into your foot, you take another thorn, take that thorn out and then throw them away. So you have a thorn inside you which is pricking, giving you pain. What is the name of that thorn? Ignorance. How to remove it? By the thorn of knowledge. Then transcend both. You have bad thoughts. How can you stop them? Bring good thoughts. Counteract them. That is called human life. It's a constant struggle. Battle is going on inside you. You are counteracting the bad by good. Third, Atma Sakshatkarma Ashchajyava Purush, the person. The person who realizes this Atman is also a wonderful person. Could you imagine that if you would see Christ, Buddha and Ramakrishna teaching, what wonderful sight it would be. Christ sitting on the seashore, teaching his disciples. Christ sitting on this mount is giving sermons. We sometimes feel, you know, we have some nostalgic feeling that if I be present there, if I could hear with my own ears those beautiful teachings of Christ was coming from his mouth directly, what a wonderful thing it would be. That Krishna says in the Gita, rare. You see, this century is around 2.5-3 million people are living. Who are talking about this Atman? Who think about it? You know, at least you people, maybe a handful, 1,000 persons, at least you are listening to something which is unusual, something wonderful. At least for the time being, your mind is not in the world. Your mind is in the transcendental plane. I remember at that time I was a student. A famous editor of a magazine, and he was a member of the parliament too, was giving a lecture. I do not know whether this monastery, our head monastery, Belur Math, is a gate of heaven or not. But this man, this much I can give you guarantee, that when I come here, I forget my wife, my children, my home, my business, everything. The whole world disappears from me, from my mind. This much I can tell you. I can tell you, I can assure you, the world will go away from your mind for the time. It may be for 5 minutes, maybe for 10 minutes. Is it not a great gain? At least 10 minutes the world disappeared from your mind. And that 10 minutes experience will give you a boost at the time of your meditation. I have that power. I did it in the temple. I did not think anything of the world, my friend, my problem, my suffering, my disease, my backache, headache. Everything I forgot. If Vedanta wants to take you that place, but there is no pain, no suffering, no misery, no headache, no backache, no body. Direct experience of the self, of the Atman. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. This Atman is mysterious. It is mysterious, it is difficult for those who are covered by ignorance. But it is normal, natural to those whose minds are illumined. Christ said, that is the first sentence of the Imitation of Christ, he who followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That is the first sentence. If you follow God, you will never grope in darkness. This man, a knower of the self, knower of the Atman, is a remarkable person. What are the signs of the knower of the Atman? Krishna will describe to you in the last chapter of the second chapter of the Gita, in the last part of the second chapter of the Gita, in this very chapter. You see, this person is unusual. Do you know why he is unusual? The moment he experiences the self, he is not in the dualistic plane. He is in deep samadhi. But he comes down out of compassion, out of love. He wants to help us. He himself crossed the ocean of Maya, this relative existence. And he wants others to cross this relative existence. So he comes and tells us, go this way, follow this. You will reach your destination. Isaista pa paramananda, Isaista parama sampat. Listen, I have attained that effulgent one who is beyond darkness. Knowing him alone, you can transcend death. There is no other way. I have tasted that supreme bliss. This knower of Brahman
is very unusual.
In ancient days, the students would go to a teacher with fagots in hand. That was the ancient custom. Sacrificial wood they would carry, firewood they would carry. Because in olden days, you see, fire was very important. At that time, there was no electricity or matchbox. So they used to keep fire all the time on. Fire is life. Fire will give you food. So they used to worship fire as like God. So the students are supposed to carry wood for the teacher so that the fire should be on. Symbolical, that fire of knowledge, fire of Brahman should be on all the time. Till you die, till you go to bed, you must always think, I am the Atman. So I remember in our Vedanta class, I asked my teacher, shall I bring some wood from the tree, from the forest? He looked at me and laughed and said, no, it is a modern time, we don't need any wood, we have electricity. You bring your Shraddha, your faith, your love for the teacher, that will do. With Shamit, that firewood, fagot, is symbolical that I have come with all humility, with all love, with all faith. Please accept me. You see, if you are not humble, you cannot get this knowledge of this earth. Knowledge of Brahman does not flash to egotistic mind. I am a rich person. I am beautiful. I am this, I am that. You will have to forget your ego. Ego is just like a demon, stopping a person to enter the realm of spirituality. If he is your ego, you see, a real teacher speaks in a simple language and people understand. If you read the teachings of Christ, Buddha, Ramakrishna, you will understand. You don't need any commentator. The more we go to the philosophers and theologians, the more we get confused. Because they themselves do not know. That is the problem. They try to understand through intellect.
Religion comes from experience. Real religion means realization of God. Dehi Nittam, verse 30. Dehi Nittam Abuddhu Ahayam Dehi Sarvaista Bharata Atman Sarvani Bhutani Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. Krishna says, this self which dwells in all bodies can never be slain, O Bharata. Wherefore, you should not mourn for any creatures. Dehi Nittam. Dehi means the Atman, the indwelling self, is eternal. Abaddhu Ayam. Nobody can kill that self. You are Arjuna, you put this argument,
well, if I fight, I shall have to kill my guru, Drona. I shall have to kill my grandfather, Bhishma. I'll have to kill my cousins. So I am not going to fight, O Krishna. It is better to become a mendicant. I shall beg from door to door. I shall go to the forest. I shall not fight. I tell you, Krishna says, Dehi Nittam. The Atman, the Self, which I have explained to you, is indestructible. Krishna gave true, it is indestructible. Why? Nirabhavatvat, because it has no form. The Atman has no form. It is formless. The body has a form. But your Atman has no form. It takes form. Let me give an example. Here is a jar. And the jar space is also inside. The destruction of the jar does not mean the destruction of the jar space. The moment you destroy the jar, the space becomes one with the space. This room space, the moment you destroy this room, it becomes one with that infinite space. But we limited that space by a room. We limited that space by a jar. We say St. Louis, Mississippi, Kansas, Mississippi, New Orleans, Mississippi. And that Mississippi River is limited by a place. St. Louis, Mississippi River, Kansas City, Mississippi. Like this way, we are limiting that Mississippi River with a place, by a place. Actually, Mississippi River is one, indivisible. So this Atman, this Self, is indivisible. Your Atman, my Atman, his Atman, consciousness, is always the same. But we took many forms. Swami, why do we take form? Because we want to. We have egos. We want to play. We want to enjoy. We are the doers. We are the enjoyers. This doership and enjoyership are connected with the ego. When ego dies, man becomes illumined. This ego is troublesome. First, it is formless. Second, it is eternal. The same Atman is in all beings. Your consciousness and my consciousness are not different. But your karma, your samskaras, your mind and my mind are different. Your body, my body are different. Tasma sarvani bhutani natvam shochitu marushi. Do not grieve. Do not cry. The Atman is indestructible. You are afraid of killing your grandsire, your guru, your cousin. Moreover, listen, Arjuna. These six persons are called assassins, according to the scriptures. The person who sets fire to your house, the person who tries to poison you, the person who is waiting to kill you with a weapon, the person who robs your wealth, your wife, and your home. These six persons are called assassins. You can kill them. A person may be your guru. He may be a child. He may be old. He may be Brahmin. He may be a great scholar. But if he comes in front of you as an assassin, kill him. Krishna was, these things are from Manu Smriti. The commentator is giving all these illustrations to support Krishna's statement. That if a guru, teacher, you see here Arjuna is telling Krishna that my guru, Drona, who taught me archery, I'll not have to go and fight with him and I may kill him. So I shall be a sinner. I don't want that. Krishna says, no, you will not be a sinner. It is a war for the truth. You are fighting for righteousness. They took the part of unrighteous party. So you can fight against them. Krishna will tell you more about this war. You know, I told you in my introductory lectures, Krishna never asked Arjuna to come to the battlefield and fight. It is Arjuna who brought Krishna to become his charioteer. He did not want to fight. He tried at most to stop that holocaust, that terrible war. It is symbolical, as I told you. But he was unsuccessful. You see, sometimes this part of human life is mysterious. Sri Ramakrishna gave an illustration. When the robbers attack a home, they shout, kill, rob, loot. At that time, police do not stop them because they know they are now in full power, in full swing, you know, they are exuberant with power. This is the time, this is not the time to stop them. Let them finish their robbery. So when they finish their robbery, they come out from the home. At that time, they are exhausted, you see. Their emotion stops. At that time, police come and arrests them. Really, at that time, they do not stop. Because the police will be killed. So when a person has a terrible desire for enjoyment, you are not supposed to stop him. Go ahead. When his work is done, at that time you advise, give him advice, he will listen. When he is in full motion, you know, emotionally he's carried away. When that person is carried away emotionally, he will not listen to your advice. It may be a precious advice, but he will not listen to you. So when Krishna, Arjuna came to fight, he was, you know, with great hope, with great expectation. He asked, ordered Krishna, drive my chariot between those armies, and I like to see who has come to fight with me. I am the great hero of the Mahabharata. I can kill all these 11 million people by one weapon. I have that weapon which I got from Shiva. Name of that weapon is Pashupata. If I throw that weapon, 11 million people will be killed instantly. I like to see who has come to fight with me. So you see, it is Arjuna who came to fight. Krishna simply nodded his head and obeyed his warrior. All right, let me drive your chariot between the armies. Then he was afraid, he was confused. He asked Krishna to guide him, to get rid of that delusion. That is the story of the Mahabharata. Let me read a passage. You will enjoy it. It is a commentary on the verse 29. Sri Krishna passes on to a verse for which there is a close parallel in the parables of Jesus. Sri Krishna says that people, in their response to the spiritual life, seem to fall into various categories. Similarly, Jesus tells this parable. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. It is a beautiful presentation. Unless there is a window open in our consciousness, some entry into the deeper state of consciousness, we will be unmoved by even the most eloquent presentation of the spiritual life. You know, sometimes we talk about the spiritual life, and from the audience, somebody may say, what is he talking about? You see, this person is curious, but he is not interested. Perhaps his mind is moving, is roaming somewhere else. Some people say, what do you need meditation? Or after I have waxed eloquent on what meditation can do in transforming all that is ugly into all that is beautiful in our consciousness, some good people have come up and said, we don't need meditation because we are beautiful. You folks need this transformation. Evidently, you have quite a lot to transform. Still others on this tribe will say, we are always happy. We get up happy. We go to bed happy. Even in our dreams, we are happy. One of our friends on the Blue Mountain used to tell me to call such people smiling cabbages. When Jesus talks about the seeds falling by the wayside and the fowls devouring them, he's talking mostly about people in whom the words go in one ear and out the other. In order to grow, you need sorrow. In order to become loving, you very often need distress, and turmoil is often required to release your deeper resources. Unless you have suffered yourself, it is not easy for you to understand those who are suffering acutely. Unless you have gone through some of the distressing vicissitudes of life, you cannot easily sympathize with others. Many people, even when they have gone through a good deal, suffer from a convenient amnesia with the passage of time. Some people go to this man for spiritual instruction, for meditation. He made a beautiful comment. The first time we hear a good talk on meditation, we really catch fire. On one occasion, a young fellow came up at the end of my talk and said, this is what I have been looking for all my life. I am still looking for him. Others, on the way home, get a deer skin, a Patanjali pillow, Mysore incense, and Ravi Shankar records, all in preparation for meditation. But after this upsurge of enthusiasm has exhausted itself in shopping, meditation is forgotten. You see, nowadays, you know, there are some tapes on meditation. They have many exotic things about meditation, you know. Sound of devotion, sound of meditation. I have some records. Spiritual supermarket. There is a book, Spiritual Supermarket. I have a copy. Anyhow, there are various types of spiritual aspirants in this world. But very few people in this world want God. Do you have any questions?
Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittormaya amritam gamaya avirabirma yedhi rudrayate dakshinam mukham tinamam pahi nittam Om shanti shanti shanti.
Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto all.